I want you to take a second and imagine a black hole.
But maybe not the kind you're used to thinking about.
Right. Forget the collapsing stars. Forget the, crushing physical gravity. For this deep dive, we are stripping away the physical reality entirely. No supermassive stars collapsing under their own weight. We're going to explore a black hole built out of pure abstract mathematics.
Yeah, no actual physical matter required at all, which is a pretty radical departure from, well, classical astrophysics.
Exactly. And to guide us, we're looking at a totally paradigm-shifting 2026 paper by the CCTOD project. It's called The Energy Theory of Mathematical Black Holes.
And usually, when we study black holes, we rely heavily on thermodynamics or general relativity. We measure physical.
Mass, spin, that kind of stuff.
Right, the radius of an event horizon. But the research we're digging into today abandons the physical universe entirely. It steps straight into the realm of pure number theory and computation.
Which is wild. Our mission today is to figure out how just three fundamental math functions can be woven together to not just like simulate a black hole on a computer screen, but actually generate stable, measurable energy levels out of thin air.
It's a fascinating concept.
It's as if you wrote a basic computer script to calculate an apple falling,
Right.
right? And then you discovered the code itself was generating actual physical weight.
I mean, that captures the friction perfectly. This paper argues that black holes might be better understood as purely mathematical objects processing information.
So no singularity at the center.
No physical space-time singularity hiding in the middle,
Yeah.
just computation trying to resolve itself.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if we strip away the cosmic dust and the stars, we are left with a really obvious question. What is the actual matter making up this math black hole?
Well, if we're building a universe out of math, we need our building blocks. And the foundation here is three highly specific mathematical functions.
Right, the three pillars.
Exactly, coupled together into this dynamic network. So first, we have the Riemann-Zeta function.
Okay, the zeta function. That's the one that encodes prime numbers, right?
Yes, it intimately encodes the distribution of primes, the fundamental indivisible building blocks of all integers.
Got it. Stubborn, irregular little blocks. And the second one.
The second is the gamma function, which governs factorial growth.
Factorials. So like explosive growth.
Massive continuous explosion of combinations and permutations.
Yes.
And then third, we have the Lambert W function.
And what does that one do?
It handles logarithmic inversion.
So I want to pause right there to make sure we and the listener really get why these three specific functions are the ingredients. We've got prime numbers, factorial growth, and logarithmic inversion. How do these team up to replace a collapsing star?
It really comes down to their inherently contradictory natures. Like, think about what these functions actually do.
They fight each other.
Essentially, yeah, the gamma function creates this unstoppable, explosive growth. But the Lambert W function, handling the logarithms, does the exact opposite.
It slows things down.
Right, it represents extreme compression. It slows massive numbers down to a crawl.
So we have explosive growth slamming into extreme compression.
And then you scatter the rigid, irregular prime numbers of the zeta function all throughout that landscape. It creates an environment of massive structural friction.
Okay, so we are building a mathematical pressure cooker. Unstoppable growth, fighting extreme compression, peppered with irreducible primes. But how does that friction turn into a black hole? The paper talks about a loss functional driving the system.
Yeah, so the researchers connected these three functions into a model they call conditional collapse theory, or CCT.
CC2ODE, right.
Exactly. And that loss functional you mentioned, it's essentially a mathematical gauge. It constantly measures how far this network is from achieving a perfect state of equilibrium.
Equilibrium here means what exactly?
Finding perfect integer gaps between the functions.
So it wants to be perfectly neat and tidy.
Right. And the whole system is governed by a gradient flow. You can think of it as a differential equation acting like a relentless downward pressure,
Pushing the loss down.
constantly trying to push that loss functional down to absolute zero. It wants to solve the contradiction, eliminate the friction, and just collapse down to a single perfect mathematical point.
Wait, we just said we mixed unstoppable growth with extreme compression and weird prime numbers. A perfect point doesn't exist, right?
It does not.
It's like, okay, it's like a Roomba vacuum stuck in a really weird corner of your living room.
Boom-ba-ba.
Yeah, hear me out. The Roomba is programmed with one relentless goal: find the docking station, which in this case represents zero loss, perfect equilibrium.
Okay, I follow.
But the furniture, the contradictory math functions is arranged so that the docking station is physically unreachable. So instead of docking, the Roomba just spins back and forth in a repeating loop forever, endlessly trying to find a path that isn't there.
That Roomba analogy is actually a great way to illustrate limit cycles.
Limit cycles, so the mathematical looping.
Because the loss functional can never reach absolute zero, that mathematical gradient flow gets trapped. It cannot completely collapse.
It just spins.
It settles into a continuous loop. It oscillates around a constant average level of loss. The system is endlessly reevaluating its state, attempting to collapse, failing because of the friction, and looping back.
And that's where the oscillations come from.
Exactly. That failure to reach zero is the exact mechanism that generates the oscillations of our mathematical black hole.
Okay, I follow the logic of the mathematical looping.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where I've got to push back a little. How does an abstract math equation failing to reach zero equate to actual real energy?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. Because in physics, energy is a physical property. The heat of a fire, the impact of a car. How does a pure equation just spinning in a limit cycle hold physical potential energy?
Well, to see that, we have to look at what energy actually is at its core. Energy isn't just physical movement. Fundamentally, energy is unresolved tension.
Unresolved tension.
Yes. It's a system's capacity to do work, which is usually driven by some kind of imbalance. So in this conditional collapse framework, the fact that the loss never hits zero means it maintains a positive constant average over time. This non-zero loss is the mathematical equivalent of persistent tension.
Because the system is constantly trying to collapse, but structurally prevented from doing it.
Precisely. It requires a steady, inherent flow to sustain that perpetual motion, and that flow is drawn directly from the intrinsic mathematical friction of the functions themselves.
So the math is literally generating its own energy state just by being frustrated.
Yeah, this unresolved tension acts as a persistent energy that never dissipates. In physics terms, it's a stationary excitation.
Yeah.
That continuous mathematical oscillation is the stable energy level of the black hole.
Wow. Okay, so if the system is oscillating, if our math Roomba is spinning in these limit cycles, it must have a frequency, right? Like a tempo to the tension.
It does. And analyzing how that frequency behaves is where this pure math starts to look shockingly like quantum physics.
Oh, quantum physics. Yeah.
Yep. The researchers needed to measure the dominant frequency of these mathematical limit cycles. So they used a tool called autocorrelation.
Autocorrelation? How does that work?
It basically takes the signal of the mathematical oscillation, duplicates it, and slides it over itself to find the dominant repeating rhythm.
So it isolates the core frequency of the spinning.
Exactly.
Okay, here is where my high school physics alarm bells are ringing. We have a mathematically generated energy state, and we have a specific frequency for how that energy oscillates. If you divide energy by frequency, aren't we calculating action? Like Planck's constant?
But you hit the nail on the head. That synthesis leads to basically the most staggering revelation in the whole paper.
There it is.
When they took the persistent energy generated by the loss functional and divided by the dominant frequency from the autocorrelation, they created a quantum-like action. It characterizes each specific mode of oscillation.
This was the part of the empirical evidence that just blew my mind. Because they didn't just theorize this. They ran actual numerical simulations.
Real crunching of the numbers.
Yep. Yeah, they dropped numbers into this pressure cooker completely at random. Like, they'd start the system at a totally arbitrary complex number, like negative 0.23 plus 12.7i.
Just a random starting point.
Right. And the system didn't just spit out chaotic noise. It fought through the friction and settled into a specific recurring stable mode.
Yeah.
The energy was about 0.0432, and the frequency was 0.0821.
And when you divide the energy over the frequency,
you get an action value of roughly 0.526.
Right.
But the crazy part is what happens when they throw a totally different, unrelated random number at it, like 0.85 plus 18.4i.
It settles into a slightly different stable mode.
Yeah, but the action value was 0.591.
Right.
It always found these exact grooves. No matter how wildly they kicked the system to start, the resulting action value stubbornly hovered right around that 0.5 to 0.6 mark.
The action is quantized.
It's quantized, which is insane for pure math, right?
It's incredible. The implication of finding quantization in abstract numbers is like finding a physical fingerprint on a purely digital file. The fact that it remains roughly quantized, independent of the initial random perturbation, means there is a hidden spectral rule governing these special functions. The math isn't just randomly fluctuating.
It's organizing itself.
Organizing into discrete, quantized states. Behaving exactly the way quantum mechanics dictates energy must be quantized in the real, physical world.
It's almost like pure number theory has the universe's quantum rule book already baked into it.
It really is.
So we've built this machine out of primes, explosive factorials, and extreme logarithms. It gets trapped trying to resolve its contradictions.
Yeah.
Creates spinning tension. That tension translates to stable energy, and the rhythm produces quantized action.
It's a beautifully self-contained concept.
It is. But let's bridge the gap here, because we need to know how these abstract math frequencies actually map to physical, real-world black holes, the terrifying ones we observe with telescopes.
Right. The physical mapping is where this theoretical framework actually proves its utility. The researchers discovered that the specific mathematical couplings, the interactions between our three functions, map directly to the physical observables of a real black hole.
Okay, let's break those down. First coupling.
Let's look at the Riemann zeta function interacting with the gamma function. The paper shows that the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy of a physical black hole is directly proportional to this specific mathematical coupling.
Okay, let's contextualize that for the listener. In thermodynamics, entropy in a black hole is a measure of microstates. It's basically a count of all the hidden information, all the possible arrangements of the matter swallowed by the event horizon.
Yes. And mechanically, think about what zeta and gamma are doing. The zeta function gives us the discrete building blocks through prime numbers.
And gamma governs the permutations.
The massive permutations and factorial arrangements of those prime blocks. So the mathematical interaction between primes and factorials perfectly mirrors the physical act of counting complex, hidden informational arrangements.
Oh, wow. So the math of permutations explains the physics of hidden information.
Exactly. The amplitude of that mathematical oscillation directly dictates the mean value of the physical entropy.
That makes so much sense. Okay, what about the Hawking temperature, the radiation that black holes supposedly leak over time?
That maps to our second coupling, the interaction between the zeta function and the Lambert W function.
Primes and logarithmic compression.
Right. As this specific coupling oscillates, it modifies the effective temperature that a distant observer would actually measure. But since the underlying math is trapped in a limit cycle, the temperature isn't static.
It changes.
The model predicts that black holes should produce time-varying emission lines.
Meaning the radiation coming off a black hole isn't just a steady hiss of static. It pulses. It has a rhythm.
Yes, it pulses.
Oh.
And that provides a potential real-world signature. It suggests a physical black hole isn't in a dead static equilibrium. It's in a coherent oscillatory state.
Driven by the mathematical friction.
Exactly. If we can actually detect these time-varying emission lines in astrophysical data, it would strongly validate all this math.
That leaves us with one final coupling, right? The unstoppable force meeting the immovable object. Gamma's explosive growth and Lambert W's extreme compression. What physical trait is that?
That interaction dictates what astrophysicists call quasi-normal modes.
Quasi-normal modes, what are those?
Well, when a physical black hole gets perturbed, say it swallows a neutron star or gets struck by something massive, it doesn't just absorb it silently.
Right, it rings like a bell.
Exactly. It sends out dampening ripples in space-time, which we know as gravitational waves.
Yeah.
The specific frequencies of that dampening ring down are the quasi-normal modes.
And mechanically, that fits perfectly. You've got the sudden explosive energy of the collision, which is the gamma function, and the dampening compressing force of gravity pulling it back to equilibrium. That's the Lambert W function.
You've got it. A quasi-normal mode is a dampened oscillation, and the paper demonstrates that if our mathematical network switches its oscillation pattern, like jumping from one limit cycle to another, the mathematics perfectly describe the ring-down frequencies.
No, so the ringing of a real black hole corresponds exactly to the oscillatory modes of this pure math network.
They correspond exactly.
This is wild. We're not just drawing loose parallels. This paper is giving us an entirely new analytical dictionary. Instead of trying to parse messy astrophysical data through general relativity, we can analyze a black hole's ringing by looking at factorials and logarithms.
It provides a complete self-contained model of black hole energy spectra. But more importantly, this brings us to the profound thermodynamic implications of the paper. This ties it all together.
Tell me.
For decades, physicists have noticed this startling coincidence. The laws governing black hole mechanics look suspiciously identical to the classical laws of thermodynamics.
Like area acts like entropy, surface gravity acts like temperature.
Exactly. And what the CCTOD paper demonstrates is that these aren't coincidences. These thermodynamic laws naturally emerge from the underlying purely mathematical variational principle.
Okay, here is where it gets really interesting to me. Usually we think of a black hole as this giant monolithic object, a massive sphere of darkness. But if thermodynamics apply, the macro object must be made of countless tiny microstates.
Right, like how a cup of hot water is just billions of jiggling molecules.
Exactly.
And this theory resolves that perfectly. In this framework, the oscillating limit cycles we discussed, those mathematical Roombas spinning endlessly, they represent those crucial microstates.
The spinning math is the microstate.
They are coherent, quantized excitations above a ground state. And since these mathematical energies are discrete and stable, like we saw with the action values, they offer a direct mechanism to explain area quantization.
The physical area quantization of black holes, meaning the surface area of the event horizon doesn't grow smoothly.
No, it doesn't expand like blowing up a balloon.
It grows in discrete, pixel-like jumps.
Yes. Physicists have suspected for a long time that the event horizon is quantized at the Planck scale. This math finally gives us a structural mechanism for exactly why and how that happens. The black hole grows in discrete mathematical jumps because the underlying limit cycles are fundamentally quantized.
Let's just take a second to look back at the sheer scale of the journey we've been on today. We wiped away stars and physical gravity. We threw the Riemann zeta function, the gamma function, and the Lambert W function into a mathematical pressure cooker.
And found that their contradictions make it impossible to reach a zero-loss equilibrium.
They get stuck. The failure to resolve creates a perpetual spinning tension. That tension is an oscillating energy and the massive payoff. The frequencies of this mathematical energy perfectly map to the physical radiation, the entropy, and the gravitational waves of real black holes. We just described the most terrifying object in the universe using only computation.
And honestly, it raises a deeply unsettling question about the fundamental nature of reality. If pure abstract math, completely devoid of physical matter, can perfectly mirror extreme gravitational phenomena, it forces us to reconsider the direction of causality.
Is the universe generating the math we use to describe it, or is the math generating the universe?
Exactly.
And that leads me to the final thought I want to leave you, the listener, with. It's straight from the future directions section of the paper. The researchers aren't stopping at a single black hole.
No, they are moving on to binary mergers.
Two black holes spiraling inward and violently colliding. But to simulate this, they aren't using physical objects with mass and a supercomputer. They're simply going to take two of these purely mathematical networks, these CCTODEs, and couple them together.
And the mechanism they plan to use for that coupling is just breathtakingly abstract. To simulate the physical distance between two colliding black holes, they are introducing an interaction term based purely on the numerical distance between the two mathematical states.
Just the abstract numerical distance between states. So I want you to mull on this as you go about your day. If pure mathematics can perfectly simulate the violent space-time shattering collision of two black holes, simply by evaluating the numerical distance between prime numbers and factorials, is reality itself just a computation? Are we and the stars and the black holes simply the physical manifestations of these exact functions running in the background code of the universe? Just a localized point of mathematical friction, endlessly spinning, generating the gravity of our reality?